Welcome to VG Club. My name is Daxter23Jack, aka Dax/Aviv. And today I am joined by Ben.
Hey.
Kulak, aka Marcus.
Hello, all. It's Kana, by the way.
We'll get to that. And we are also joined by Grace.
Hiya.
Javi.
Hello.
Obviously. And last Hello. But not least, I got Korea 9, aka Chris.
Hey.
So what were you gonna say, Javi? I cut you off.
Oh no. On your end when you started saying Hav, it just cut off and I'm like, oh, I guess maybe your mic just stopped picking you up, so I'm like, hello, and I guess I cut you off. So it's like total mind fuck.
Yeah, it happens. But yeah, as Marcus said, we played a game called Kena. Yeah, we're kind of arguing about the pronunciation because apparently it was said multiple ways in the game as well. So Kena or Kena?
No.
But we'll go with whatever Marcus said.
Hey, Anya.
That works too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Professor got in trouble for that, Javi.
Oh no.
But yeah, Kena, Bridge of Spirits. Which is a game that was developed by Ember Labs and released last year, back in 2001.
Man, I felt like this was older, but I guess not.
Yeah, I mean, no, it got delayed due to the pandemic. But yeah, this has been something that's been on my backlog list for a while. So when I saw it on Ben's list last time we recorded, I was like, oh, this is the perfect opportunity to do just that.
Was it on PS4 as well, or just PS5 and PC?
PS4,
I think
PS5
it was a next gen
and PC.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it was meant to be or somewhere around like PS5 launch game, but it ended up being delayed a couple months.
That makes sense with all the pandemic stuff going on.
This would have been a great launch title for the PS5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but, y'all keep referencing a pandemic. What are you talking about?
Oh, I forget. Marcus is a time traveler. So, no. But, I guess let's just start off with the story. What do you guys think?
Well, what is the story?
The story, basically, this young girl named Kena is a spirit guy, and she helps... guide people from the physical realm to the spirit realm, and
bridge mostly... the spirit.
Ah, there's the title. No, but yeah, and then basically most of the game is spent just helping spirits that have been kind of corrupted and kind of helping them bring them back to their senses so they can actually move on, and then. Kena takes place in this village that was apparently caught in like a cycle of famine and sickness or something. And because of that, pretty much everybody in the village died. It was pretty brutal. And so that's basically, you start off and like corruption has spread throughout this entire forest. And Kena uses these creatures called the Rot to kind of bring life back to this dead village.
That checks out. Yep, that's pretty much the main story.
Yeah, I guess there was a huge emphasis on like I guess these guys had done some animation in commercials, so I thought like the story was going to be a huge emphasis, but it turns out it took a backseat to the gameplay, which wasn't all that bad. I enjoyed the gameplay. We'll get to that in a moment, but Yeah, I felt like Kenna was a pretty blank slate. Like, she's just kind of like a vehicle for experiencing these stories. We get, I think the only detail we get about her is that her father was a spirit guide.
Yeah, that's about right. She also has like that weird thing on her hand, like some sort of injury or something, but they never point that out other than just like showing it briefly. But yeah, that's about it. That's all you know about her.
And she lost her dad at a young age.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I would have loved it if they'd kind of expanded on that, because, you know, I guess they say, you know, being a spirit guide is just like a lonely path. So kind of her falling in her dad's footsteps, they could have done a little something with that. But in the end, I guess I wasn't the biggest fan of the characters in the game either. I like the lesbian woodsmiths, but wasn't the biggest fan of the children. And then the village elder, the village leader, he was just really angry.
Well, that was the thing I was a little bit unclear of with who was the leader, whether it was the old man who was leading him before, and he had prompted that other guy, like, hey, now it's your turn to lead, and basically we gotta move. Or if that other guy was always just sort of like a shaman character. I was a little bit unclear on that. And honestly, I guess from a greater perspective, like, not knowing exactly what everything was, I thought was actually a pretty interesting aspect of the game. You know, sort of seeing how it all was sort of came back to that same moment in time when we're seeing a lot of the events happening. I wasn't really expecting that because, you know, not all the characters, but most of these characters are so siloed off from each other that it was hard to tell when this all took place and like what exactly was going on at the time.
I do like the like mystery of it, of like, you know, you show up, the village is in ruins, and you don't exactly know what happened, and then kind of like slowly piecing that together as the story goes on. Like, that's definitely the part I do like, but yeah, I agree with you that like the characters are kind of somewhat one-dimensional at times.
I think that's kind of the intention behind it, right? Like, they're spirits that are locked here because they have something left to do, or they were haunted by something before they died. So either like the kids are there because their brother, you know, he went off and got lost, so the two of them need to link back up. So they're like, you have to fulfill their final thing. I mean, they're spirits. They're not actual corporeal entities. They're just there to do their one thing over and over again. And then, you know, once you as Kenna, the spirit guide, completes that task, then they kind of move on.
I mean, I
get the premise of a horror game.
It kind of reminds me. Did you guys ever watch that show? What is it? Dead Like Me, came out in the early 2000s.
I think I've seen an episode, yeah.
Yeah, basically it centers around pretty much like a group of Grim Reapers in the modern era who pretty much do the same thing Kenna does. And I felt like they use a similar concept and really expand upon it, and just kind of the emotions of the people who are doing this job. So I understand where you're coming from. Like, these people, you know, they're shades of their former self, but I feel like that's not necessarily an excuse for what they could have done with the characters.
I mean, it's also a very simple story too, right? Like, I mean, it's not a deep story. It's not a very deep game. I'm not defending it in that regard, but I think if you were looking for like a deeper story, like it wasn't advertised as such. And like, I don't think it ever promised to be anything more than that.
Okay, fair enough.
I think the game's like super polished, high quality visuals almost clash with how basic it is.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's like a high end Pixar movie, but with like old school like PS2 mechanics and. And then like the cutscene are presented so beautifully, and it goes into like an ultra wide screen, and like the renders super high quality, but then like there's not a lot to chew on there in terms of character. So I could see how it sets itself up to kind of disappoint in that sense. I also found that like controlling Kena, it was fine, but like it never like became like really satisfying to play to me. It was basically serviceable at best. It was really like, I don't know, there's just like that missing piece of polish or of like, I guess, you know, like when you play a Mario game, it just feels really, really good. And this game, like, it works. You know, it's never like really frustrating or anything, but there's something that's not there and you can feel it.
I don't know. I mean, I felt like the combat was actually pretty free-flowing. I agree with you with the platforming, because like the platforming just felt, it always felt like a little off to me. I was just like, I feel like I should be able to jump farther.
Yeah.
But
no, I agree about the combat though. Like the combat, it's basic, but it gets the job done. I think the combat was fine.
Yeah, and like once you get the bow and arrow and the bombs, I feel like that really expands on it, and it kind of creates this combat system that's, God, I know this is like a very stereotypical thing, but you know, it's, you know, easy to pick up, hard to master, and I feel like it does throw a bunch of stuff at you if you want that challenge. But if you don't want that challenge, then you can just set it to story mode or easy mode and just kind of cruise along.
Uh-huh.
That is absolutely what I did, because I hated the combat. Absolutely hated it. I enjoyed the platforming. Loved it. But the combat, hated it from maybe like a third of the way through the game. I was like, fuck this, I'm done.
That's
exactly, I don't know about... Oh, go ahead.
I felt exactly the same way as Chris, just because like, I did enjoy the platforming. Like, it wasn't, you know, amazing or anything, but it was enjoyable. But that was between the platforming and the combat. The platforming was the only part that I enjoyed. The combat was just like, I guess there was a little bit more meat to it, but mostly it just felt like spamming the light attacks, because like by the time you wind up a heavy attack, most of the enemies could hit you before you even swing. So it's like spamming R1, R1, R1 the whole time.
Okay, I get where you're coming on that front. I never used the heavy attack.
Yeah. I mean, I tried, but most of the time I just, like, I would try it a couple of times, get interrupted. Like, Kena gets interrupted, like, all the time, and the enemies never do. So, well, the big enemies never do. It's only the little enemies that are actually, like, you just wipe them out really quick. It's kind of fun, but all of the bigger enemies are just so annoying. Like, even when you throw in the arrows and the bombs, it opens things up. I'll give it that, but it never makes it fun.
Interesting. I guess I fall more like where Dax falls on the combat, where I thought that the arrows and bombs, yes, did open it up and actually did make it more enjoyable, because I was hardly ever using my staff. I was throwing bombs, denting the bombs with my arrows, doing like the up jump to slow down time in order to, you know, precisely hit them where I wanted to. I would usually only use my like melee when I had stunned someone and needed to get in a bunch of hits really quickly, or when I was doing like the rot super attack with their action points. But I also like, while I'm more positive on it than I guess than the average, I do think there's a little too much of it. The game's, I mean, and it's all across the board, the game's budget showing through, but I felt like the game's budget where there's like, okay, you got to a new area. All right, here's another wave of enemies. Cool. Do a little bit of puzzle. Now you're in a new area, wave of enemies. And it just felt like you're going back and forth all the time. And it's like, yeah, I could do it. Like I could do with a shorter game. And just have the combat more sparse. I don't need it removed entirely. I enjoy it well enough. Just they didn't have enough there to justify as much combat encounters as we get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy how often that is the case. Like, I don't think anybody's ever, you know, had a second wave of enemies come in and go, oh, thank God. Like, you know, I don't know why games do that. I guess it is truly just to increase the playtime. But
I think one of the parts that got me the most was when you would be fighting certain bosses and you would take out the minions, and then they would keep respawning, and you would just be like, oh my god, I just want to focus on this big guy. And I know why they probably kept respawning, so you can build up like the courage so the rock can do actions like swarm the enemy like a swarm of bees and distract them for a moment so you can get a couple of hits in. But sometimes I was just like, oh please just stop with all the additional enemies, I just want to concentrate on this big guy in front of me.
The combat definitely, I think it was fairly well designed, but I do think that they, you know, they throw a lot of things at you, and especially in the late half of the game where, you know, you're just kind of fighting the same types of enemies over and over again that you've already fought before, then it just gets pretty stale. The one thing about the combat that I did enjoy is, again, because it's like that old school like PS2 era thing where like they introduce, you know, a main enemy as like a boss or like a mini boss, and then that just becomes like a main enemy going forward, like that old like the old God of War thing that they would do. Like everything about this game is like very, you know, PS2 era, you know, for good and for bad, I guess.
I wonder how much of that is budget or inexperience, because or maybe it's intentional, I don't know, but this is their first game. I think like Dax said, their background is in, they were in animation studio, and you can definitely see like they're very talented at that. But maybe they need to hire up on gameplay designers and storytellers. Then we'd have the perfect game. But
yeah, because I think I guess their only other like foray into the video game space was they made a Majora's Mask a couple of years back, and then they kind of used that opportunity to kind of jump on a game, and they got a exclusivity or console exclusivity deal with Sony.
I remember their anime, their Majora's Mask short, that was really cool. But that's not even, I mean, that is just making a cutscene, right? Like it's making a video game that's interactive is a whole different beast. I mean, and since, like, with that in mind, like, it's kind of a miracle that this game is as good as it is. It's good. Good game.
No, and I mean, it's also one of these things where I would very much, like, appreciate a sequel to this game that just expanded on everything, because I think this is what Marcus was saying while, like, sometimes, like, the game will, like, bottleneck you, and then you'll just get into these, like, areas of enemies, and I'll bottleneck you again, and then another. It felt kind of like the first Uncharted in that sense, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And the climbing also is very Uncharted. Like it's very much influenced.
Here's the path.
Enemies. Yeah, exactly.
And Waves of Enemies is very Uncharted 1. Pad out that game.
One thing I will say about Uncharted 1 is I felt like the climbing was a bit more free-flowing, whereas I felt like it was really stiff in Canada, and I was just I was hoping there was going to be more kind of like obstacles or more challenge to it. So yeah, I feel like that's something Uncharted did definitely a bit better. But anything, you guys have anything else about the gameplay, or do you think we've pretty much covered all that?
I guess something I wanted to touch on, both for the gameplay and it's sort of across the board, and I think Javi touched on this bit before with the, you know, a lot of that could be stemming from them not having that gameplay, like that video game design experience, and just really that video game experience in total. You know, a lot of times we do talk about sequels being that mode for like, okay, you know, we just need more of this, we need more of XYZ, and maybe they'll be able to refine things. Like they were really laying a foundation here. I think like Akena 2 would need more than that. Like it would need more than just budget. I feel like they really do need to bring on some people with some more experience like on board, because while this game would like help in that regard, you know, there, it's a big industry, and there's got to be some folks who might be able to make it just feel a little bit better, to just be able to come in and have that perspective that really helps them like sort of tie it all together. Because I think I'm with Dax, where I would like to play a sequel, but with more caveats. I don't think visuals for the most part are one of them. Some of the animation, like I remember it feeling really weird just to run, and even just from the look of her, yes, just like sort of like moving, which is like, well, that's like off. Uh-huh. I can't place exactly where it's off. I don't know if it's missing some, like there's like a maybe they should make it look like she's running more and like you get a little more speed that reflects that. I'm not sure exactly.
I have an example of exactly what you're talking about. Like, and it's unfortunate that it's the very start of the game. It's so jarring because the game starts with you in the cave and the camera's really close to you. So you can see very distinctly, it's like binary between when she's standing still or when she starts to move. It like hard cuts to her walking animation. It's like very jarring how different her model looks. And so it keeps going back and forth. And you get that. I mean, it's one of those things that as you continue to play, it becomes less noticeable, but it's still there. And it's kind of like a cloud hanging over the game, for me at least, where I'm like, ooh, this animation's a little jank. Like, there's no transition animations. Like, I remember we're talking about Uncharted a lot, but they had a making of thing back in the day, and they talked about how, you know, Nathan Drake can be mid-run, and that's an animation. But then, like, if you're climbing, or you're jumping, or you're shooting, or whatever, those are different animations that start at different places, but they programmed a whole system to basically naturally move him from the animation he's in into the other one, so it feels more natural. It all kind of smooths that out, and Kena does not have that at all. It's very like, boom, this is gonna cut, and now you're doing this, and it's not very nice looking.
I can definitely see that. Like, there was, I think I noticed this the most when I was swimming around in the water. Like, just there, I felt like there was no in between animation for swimming around and then getting out of the water. So sometimes, like, I would be trying to find some like land to jump on, and I would just be doing like awkward hops and just like splashing in the water, just trying to get up on a surface.
You know what's ironic is that, like, if this game looked like a PS2 GameCube era video game, that kind of harsh cuts between animations would be pretty normal, and it would probably not even phase us. It's the fact that this game looks so nice. It looks like it's cutscenes. And then pairing that with the animation, it's like, oh, what the hell?
Yeah, I can see that. But I think another one of those trade-offs with it looking so nice is that the environments we're in are pretty static the whole time. And you know, they use that village conceit of like, hey, you're just on this one island. Like, that's why it all looks pretty much the same. I think that's one of those things that you would hope would be addressed in a sequel, where you can visit multiple places, see a lot of different settings. Because, you know, what you do get is beautiful. It's just, it overstays its welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is very, very green.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I was gonna say, same with like the weird, like blighted lands, like the, you know, stuff with all the red stuff. Like, you know, clearing that out, like, you know, everything going from like gray and red to green, it was just like exactly the same every single time. You know, like similar animation, similar stuff. But, like, the first time it happened, I was like, oh, that's cool. And then it's like, oh, it's gonna be this like every single time for, you know, 10 hours or whatever.
Yeah, no, there wasn't a ton of variety, but still, it felt, I don't know, it felt good just kind of like getting rid of all of that corruption, especially like when you're using like the rot and the, the mini rot god form, where you're kind of, they're like moving around like water and you can control them with the right analog stick. I love just like using that to clear corruption. I don't know, it felt satisfying.
Where you become like the wolf or whatever, and you have to control them to jump into the rot. Is that's what it was, right? No, the rot was the little guys. The corruption. When you become like the big wolf, water wolf thing, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That the one I liked, I thought it was a cool conceit. It just, because you can control both characters, like you control the rot with one stick and I would always kind of get crossed up. It always threw me off.
Yeah, but I was gonna say I dislike the feeling of controlling your little slime boy, because it comes back to another one of those things where it's like the speed, like the movement of each of them separately is like a little off from each other. And so what you're seeing visually on screen reflect what you're trying to do with your thumbs always just came across very awkwardly.
I'll never play Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons, because that's how that whole game is. You have one brother on the left stick and one on the right.
Yeah, I think what Marcus is saying, and I agree with him, is that like your rot buddy, your rot wolf thing, like goes faster than Keyneth. So it's like, and you're sometimes having to navigate like down a path, and it just becomes like you can't control them both at the same speed. So even though you're pressing the same way, like you're losing distance between one, and if you accidentally run into something incorrectly, like you can actually lose your, then you have to go all the way back, get the water again, come back down.
Gotcha. Yeah, because if Kenna like falls from any height, even if it's like a small height, the rot wolf just like disappears, like a bubble was poofed. But yeah, we've talked a lot about the combat. I think one thing this game does really well is it's not perfect, but I really like that there's like archery challenges and in the environment, and I love the bombs to like reanimate like a bridge or reanimate rocks so you could jump across a chasm.
Yeah, I loved all the environmental like little puzzles to create platforming ledges to get to. Sometimes it's just to like a chest. Sometimes it's you need to do it for the story, but I enjoyed all that stuff, far more than the combat.
Yeah, that stuff was pretty cool. It would have been nice to have it like a little bit more of that, because I think once you figure out like a handful of them, you kind of get like the point of it. But yeah, between like the like bomb thing, and then you have like those flowers that you can shoot to and like basically make like a zip line and kind of like zip your way across like certain gaps and things like that. Like that stuff was all pretty cool.
They do a pretty good job. I think it's the last zone. It's like that you're moving between. It's all that purple darkness stuff. That has more of that in it. And I thought that stuff was all fun. And I guess at that point you have all your equipment too, so they can do more cool things. But yeah, I enjoyed that level. And then there's a cool piece in the middle of the final boss fight. Like it just throws you into this weird platforming section where you're using your arrows. I thought that was neat too.
Yeah, I agree. It's less neat when you lose the boss fight and have to do all that stuff again.
Oh yeah. No checkpoint in that. It's kind of a pain in the ass.
That definitely got really annoying, is when you die at the final boss and then you have to do that whole section again.
Yeah, I have a full disclosure. I didn't finish the game. I waited till the last minute to start it, so I only got up to with the woodsmith. But the last area was the spirit.
Yeah, it's the village leader. You're kind of going up against him, and his darkness.
Okay, I mean his darkness. No, I knew that from the story perspective. I guess I was just like the Spirit Mountain area. Is it kind of like area, or is it pretty linear from that point on?
You're doing less exploring. I think it's more. It's not like when you go out to the farm area where the the inventors were, or the where you're trying to find the brother. It's not as vast and exploratory as that. It's definitely more linear. Like the areas in themselves are, you're still moving around in them, but it's not, you don't have this big area where you're trying to find three things to pin in.
And I'd like to push back on Dax's story critique then, if you've missed like half of it so far. I think that's part of the issue, is that they're feeding you more and more, and it all comes and ties together. So you don't really have the whole perspective right now.
But if the story was better, would Dax have finished?
Doubt it. Pokemon still came
chicken
out.
Chicken or the egg.
Yeah, I was distracted. I like this game enough that I am gonna finish it up, and you know, I was able to play this game for like 3 or 4 hour sessions at a time and still love just being able to explore the environment and finding the spirit mail and then going back to the main village and being able to like clear out more of that corruption. I think the thing that I was always weird for me is the reward for a lot of that stuff would always be the hat currency. And that always didn't know, like whenever you'd get the combat points so you could invest in your skill tree, that would be really satisfying. And while it was cute to see all the, just like, I sometimes wish this money were actually combat skill points so I could actually invest it.
100%.
Yeah.
Hats are garbage. Yeah. I don't need those. Like, if the hats any sort of like tweaks to their stats, that'd be something. But yeah, it's just aesthetics, and it's not great. It's not a good reward.
And it's what you get for like you get so much of that currency. It's like you don't need it. It's not necessary at all.
Yeah, that's definitely usually disappointing. It reminded me of the. Like ponchos in Jedi Fallen Order, or like you do like some, you know, crazy thing to get to a chest, and it's like, oh, here's a new poncho, and like that was like all they had in that game, in those chests. And I think as soon as I realized that, I'm like, well, I'm never gonna. There's no point in getting this anymore.
How dare you? The hats in this are way better than those ponchos. Those ponchos were trash. Oh.
I appreciated and was surprised by the fact that the little store where you buy the hats had like a holiday makeover. I don't know if that can't be there all year, right? It's got to be like it recognized we're playing in December or something.
I don't remember, but yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, mine had like all these gifts around it, and I think there was even like a little like jingle of like a bell or something. I don't know. And then at the bottom of the list, there was like reindeer. Antlers.
Oh, then 100%. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's yeah. Neat. I didn't notice any. I didn't really play around with the hat shit. But I like when games add holiday stuff in. That's neat.
Yeah. I never would have expected it from this game. Like a single player indie game. It's really weird.
Yeah, Sunny's Eastern Asian kind of a culture too. It's just like, hey, Christmas. Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely a little strange. Something else I wanted to touch on with the game was sort of the tone. Because, you know, it's such a very cutesy game, and I mean, aesthetic-wise. You're seeing these big-eyed creatures, and big-eyed children, for that matter. But it's, you know, it's such a... Because it's talking about bringing peace to these spirits and bringing balance back to the world, you know, there's a lot of... just sort of tragedy that's underlying the entire thing, and a lot of sort of sad vignettes that you're going through. But it, you know, they're only sad in the sense as they're, you know, it's about loss, it's about things ending. But I like that a lot of what they're sort of centering on when it's these spirits essentially helping each other, you know, give peace to one another. It sort of centers on like, hey, none of these spirits were really evil. They weren't coming in here with ill intent. It was their love and the fear of loss that their love gave them is what caused them to be desperate and take desperate actions and sort of get corrupted in the process. And I guess I just sort of like that aspect of it, that it was very much a, hey, you know, people make mistakes. That doesn't paint them forever and as whatever those mistakes were. It's they're not irredeemable for it.
The game has kind of a not a sad tone to it, but there's definitely sadness in a lot of the game. And I think like the music is also very, very good and very like evocative of that very mood setting in that sense of setting that sort of downer tone, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say the music is very nice. Like, we keep talking about how, like, the visuals are so high quality, and it does kind of put everything else at, like, well, are you going to match that quality? And I think the music does.
Yeah, for sure.
What I don't think matches the quality, and it's a, and maybe it's just, like, the way I'm hearing it, but I feel like Kena's voice actress,
isn't
the best, and I think, you know, a lot of the other side characters, their voice actors do a good job conveying what those characters are supposed to be. But there's something about Kena's readings where it's like, yeah, you can tell she's trying to throw emotions into it, but a lot of it's very flat.
Yeah, it's serviceable, but it doesn't stand out. She doesn't, like, it doesn't stick with you. Not a lot of, I guess, charisma in the voice.
Yeah, I think some of the voice acting is good. I think, like, the main, like, the village leader guy, like, that guy is really good in the game, but I think a handful of the other ones kind of stand out, but yeah, for the most part, I think a lot of the voice acting is not super impressive.
Better or worse than, not voice acting, but is this game better or worse than ReCore?
I think it's better.
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, that's
just more polished.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, it's funny because this game is made by, like, people who've never made a video game before, and ReCore was made by like some pretty legendary Sega people, and people that worked on Metroid Prime. No excuse.
Yeah, I don't know. Gun to my head, if you told me I had to play ReCore or Kena, I might just tell you to shoot me.
Damn. But that's not your answer, bad, for, huh? Most things. I think sequel wise, I'd be more interested in a ReCore 2 than I would a Kena 2.
That's interesting. Fair. I think that world has there's more to it, right? Like Kena is very. I mean, you could do more. Like there could be more spirits to bridge, but it has a very self-contained story. The world seems small.
Yeah.
Whereas ReCore is like there's this big open. It ends on such a weird. A weird thing that it's like there could be more. We're never going to get that, but
yeah, I don't know if I necessarily. Oh, so go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say with ReCore, I feel like they wrote themselves into a corner there because it was just like, oh yeah, you two are the only humans left alive, and it's like what? So yeah. It's just like you would have to, you would really have to bring in some like a new robot cast to kind of flesh out that world.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Kena, it's got a weaker story, but at the same time, like, yeah, I feel like, you know, there's a world beyond this village, so.
I don't know if I'm clamoring for a sequel to either. Kena or Kena, but I do want to see their next project. Like, They probably learned a lot, and yeah, I think that there's some talent there, and I would like to see where they go from here.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I think, you know, whatever he makes next, I think it's going to be interesting.
The entire time I was playing this game, it kept reminding me, so the prototype for Ratchet & Clank by Insomniac was supposed to be a game called Girl with a Stick. So whenever I was playing Kena, I kept thinking that this was like a spiritual successor to that prototype. But I had some connection issues. I couldn't speak, but I was hearing everything else. Ben touched on the music. I thought it was good, but it got repetitious in some areas when I was just going back for collectibles. So that was one complaint for me. But otherwise, did anybody else want to say anything about the music or voice acting?
I think that's a yes.
A resounding yes. Okay, thank you. I keep having connection troubles, so like when nobody says anything, I'm just like, oh shit, did my internet go out again?
Is it me or are they just quiet?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've pretty much talked about everything we want to talk about the game, right? Anyone have anything else, or you just want to do some closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts.
Oh, sweet. Well, go on, Javi.
Oh, okay. This game's a little frustrating for me because it is on paper and just looking at it like this is my shit, right? Like, you know, the first VG club we ever did, Dax asked all of us what are our favorite genres and what are we into, and while this isn't technically a 3D platformer, it is in that same vein of like cartoony adventure game of like the GameCube PS2 era, and like just that premise alone gets me really excited, and it's like this is the kind of game that I wish were still made. And here we are with a brand new one for the PS5. And like, it should be my dream come true. I was super excited about it when it was announced. But like, every time I like sit down and start playing it, I'm terribly bored. And I just kind of like check out. And I don't know, I can't put my finger on like a specific reason why that's the case. Maybe it's like the music and the kind of like stale characters, the clashing of the beautiful graphics with the janky animation and controls. I don't know, but it sucks because like this should be one of my favorite games, and I think it's fine. And I wish it resonated with me more. But yeah, I mean, it's good. Like, you look at reviews for it and like they're all positive. It's undeniably a good video game, but I just wish that like it resonated with me. So that's basically it.
Question for you, Hive. Have you played Tak and the Power of Juju?
I have not. I think I've purchased it on several platforms and I'm like, I'm gonna get to this. I think I have the game original GameCube version too, but yeah.
Gotcha. For some reason, like you're talking about the PS2 design, and then I was just like thinking about the way that like looked and the demos I played of that. And I was like, this sort of reminds me of that, but I never played it completely, so I don't know if it gets better or if it's like, yeah, it's about that tier. People liked it, but it's about that tier.
Okay.
Okay. I guess I'll give my closing thoughts on it. I think this is a game that's both hamstrung by its budget as well as the team's lack of experience with making video games. Like Javi said, it hits you right off the bat where it's just like, oh, this feels off. And you go into environments and you're seeing like, okay, there's a lot of how you're interacting with the world is really basic. And it doesn't help that like your first combat, you have such limited abilities then too, that it feels basic. And while it builds on that and builds on that, it doesn't build enough for the length of game. And I think some of the story complaints too can be chalked up to like, well, they only had so much budget to do cinematics and add in, you know, and do some voice acting and write a story. And so they did not the bare minimum, because I've seen a lot less than this, but they didn't do much with it. And so it's a game that at the end of the day, like, I'm glad I played it. I enjoyed my time with it. I wish the time I enjoyed with it was about half as long. And I don't know what they'll do next. Like you guys said, maybe they'll do something else or a sequel to this. It just feels so up in the air as to like what could come next from the studio. But I'd be interested to see if they've learned anything. But also, I'm not going to see their name pop up on a E3 presentation or a Video Game Awards thing and be like, oh shit, like this is it, it's time. It'll be like, oh yeah, it's them, cool. Well, let's see what they have.
Yeah, I'll be excited. Even with my like lukewarm thoughts on this game, I'm gonna be like, hey, this is cool.
I feel like rooting for the underdog, right, Javi?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, Ben, what were your closing thoughts?
Yeah, so I guess in closing for me, I do think the game is good. Maybe not great, but I think as far as like what a lot of people, the issues a lot of people have with it is that, you know, lack of polish, I guess. It's just kind of, you know, the controls are not as tight as, you know, it would be or should be. You know, there's some like animation stuff, like, it is, and I think a lot of that is like, yeah, because the team's small, and to some extent, this is an indie game, even though I guess Sony published it technically. But yeah, it's kind of a smaller scale project than like other stuff. But yeah, it is a game that I like just because of the formula of it and that you know, PS2 era action adventure platformer thing. But I guess it's not, you know, in the top tier of that stuff, you know, like it's no Ratchet and Clank, that's for sure.
No, it's not Ratchet and Clank.
Actually, you know, a game that was coming to my mind pretty consistently while playing this is it feels very similar to Star Fox Adventures on GameCube. That was like a Zelda clone. It was like, what if Star Fox was Zelda, but it was like made not nearly as well. But I love that game. I adore that game. I kind of root for it in spite of like it does have its issues. But yeah, like, Kena feels like it comfortably sits beside that. Like that's the kind of game that this is. So if you want more of this, check out Star Fox Adventures.
I'm good. Thanks.
That game is really interesting, but yeah, I think it suffers from the same problem, talking about here. That uh-huh. And oh god, the dinosaur sidekick is so annoying. It's like Trippy or something. Tiny Triceratops.
Uh-huh.
Yep. It's hard dealing with that thing.
I love that game. It's so bad.
Can never beat the final boss. I just suck at it.
At Kena or at Star Fox Adventures?
Star Fox.
I thought Grace was just going to be like, yes.
No, I did finish Kena. Surprisingly.
I don't know. I like this one. I think, Javi, you kind of said like it's a game that they don't make anymore. It's like a B-tier game to me. And I don't know. I came out going, I'm fine with this. I am glad that somebody is out there making this type of shit. It wasn't like, oh my god, amazing. But I was like, I enjoyed the, I think I finished it in like 9.5 hours. It's like, that's fine. I have spent more time on way worse games over time. And I enjoyed sitting down. I think I beat it in 4 like play sessions. It's like, it's good enough for me. As I mentioned earlier, I lowered the combat difficulty down about a third of the way through, and that made it way more pleasant for me. But yeah, I liked it. I will play more of whatever this developer puts out next, see if they kind of build on it.
I do have a question for you there, Chris. Yeah. So in their next game, regardless of what it is, if it has combat, are you from the jump going to turn it down, or are you going to try it out?
No, I'll try it. Like, because, I mean, they could very well refine it, make it something that works better for me. I was getting frustrated with it, and like, I just don't want to be frustrated anymore. So I've played so many games that like I don't need to be frustrated by like a cutesy little action adventure platformer. I just don't like.
That's fair.
And, yeah, it's like, and to me, like if I had left it at that, if there was no way to lower the difficulty, I would have dropped it. Like, I hate this game, mm-hmm. But instead, I lowered it. It had like the accessibility options to make it more manageable to my play style, and that ultimately worked out. So I was like, this, like, it let me focus on the things I was enjoying, which was like the environmental puzzles and the platforming through those, as opposed to the combat. Like, the only time it got sketchy was the boss battles, which are still kind of they can be a bitch even on the story mode.
Really? Which ones were hard?
The forge guy, the one with the two like he's up in the tree. He has like the fire. He drops the hammer on you. It took me a while to figure out what his pattern was. And then that final boss, which is, I don't think that's necessarily that it's, I just think it's a badly designed. Like, you have to hit the spots. And just the way the camera works, I didn't think it worked really well for it. So if you fuck up and die, you're kind of screwed. And then you have to do the whole thing over again, as you mentioned before.
So as mentioned earlier, I didn't finish this. So who knows? Maybe I finished this game and I'm like, this was bullshit. But I came away with a slightly more positive feeling on the game. At first, I think I was feeling a bit of what Javi said, but I don't know, the arrows and the bombs, I feel like that really started to flesh out the game to the point where I was enjoying the combat a lot more, in addition to the exploration stuff. even though I wasn't too high on the story, I had fun playing this game. And at the end of the day, I feel like that's what really matters. So it's not for everybody, but I am really looking forward to what the studio does next. And if Kenna gets another chance, I feel like Kenna should get another chance, maybe not immediately, but down the road once they've got a lot more experience.
Yeah.
I guess I should also say that, like, I bought this on sale. I don't know if my opinion would change if I had spent $50 on it when it came out. Like, it's like, I think the price I paid for it was the price I was willing to pay for it. I don't know.
I think I agree with that. I think I ended up paying like $23 for it. And it felt right there. I'm still going to try and sell it and get a little more money back. But...
I bought a digital copy, so I can't do that.
Your
Say.
Whole account.
Oh, sell my entire account. Can you put a price on that? There's so many games on there.
That would be bucks. A large price. Wow. Lowballing them there.
I'm sure there's a bunch of anime stuff I'm going to have to take on too. You know, that drives the price down.
Fortunately, you know, it's not like my Switch account with all the high end. No. But beyond Tales of the Spirit, some JRPG stuff, I don't really have too many like anime Japanese games. Nothing like, what is it, Hyper Netonia, that series that would always come out for the Vita, that I was just like, even that's a little too much for me.
Hey, you leave Nip Nip out of this.
But yeah, that's kind of Bridge of Spirits. And yeah, for our next recording session, Chris has provided us with a list of games, including the original Silent Hill, Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door, Time Splitters 2, Baldur's Gate, and Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. And I wanted to ask one clarifying question about that last one. Is the original or the remake, Chris?
I mean, I have it down as the original, but like, if you have the remake, I think that's fine.
Okie doke.
The thing is, all of these games, unless we're emulating, are going to be tricky to track down and play, I would say. Because they're all on old hardware.
Well, not Baldur's Gate.
We'll find a way.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate is, I mean, it's playable on PC. It's also available on modern consoles.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Time Splitters 2 is backwards compatible on Xbox and available there. The other, Dax said, Tony Hawk has the remake out there. It's a little bit different, but Silent Hill and Paper Mario might be difficult.
Silent Hill is on.
We get two votes, right?
Yes. Who voted fire twice, or somebody using fire twice?
I mean, no, I clicked the fire to add my vote to the previous fire that was already there.
Oh, okay.
Because for me, it's always like this. That's why I chose fire for that one. And then my other vote was Time Splitters 2. And I did that. I'm voting almost primarily because Paper Mario and Baldur's Gate are like 30, 40, 50-hour games. I'm like, fuck that.
When I just looked at, like, I went on How Long to Beat and looked at Baldur's Gate, I was like, because I kind of want to play it, but 40 something hours, I'm kind of like, eh.
Y'all, somebody needs to add a vote to Silent Hill, I'm just saying.
I mean, Paper Mario is only like 25 hours now. Come on. I mean, unless you do like every single little thing, but
there we go.
Silent Hill and Time Splitters 2 are tied with 3 votes each. Has everybody voted?
We need another piece and hourglass.
I haven't voted for anything yet.
No, the hourglass, like minus hourglass for one, fire for the other.
Oh, well, now you're just throwing it all off.
Well, I mean,
you're confusing us.
I can remove the piece and then add it to the thumbs up if that makes it easier somehow.
No, it just makes it more confusing.
Oh. Well, like, we should ideally just have one emote, and
that's
we all
fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
So does anybody know how different, like other than the removal of combat, how different Shattered Dreams is from the original? I know it's like a
Silent Hill.
It's very, very different. Yes.
It's not even close. Yeah, okay. It's very, very different.
Yeah, no, I have the original on PS3, so I could play that. It's just kind of wondering, because I haven't played Shattered Dreams yet.
HD collection?
It's not on the HD collection, because that's not only the PS2 games. So Hill 2, 3, and 4, right?
Yeah, the first one is just like a digital download. You can get it for like $10, I think.
Yeah, if you still have a PS3 or a Vita.
Yeah.
Shattered Memories, not Shattered Dreams. I was like, what? That's not right, is it?
No.
I don't have it right in front of me. So.
That's all good. Yeah, I couldn't pinpoint it either. I had to look it up. Shattered Memories is a completely different game. There's no combat in Shattered Memories. You just run away, and it's really annoying.
I knew that.
I from Paper Mario to Time Splitters.
No!
Yes!
Okay. Time Splitters.
You can put Silent Hill on your next list, Javi.
I mean, I voted for Paper Mario, even though I just played it earlier this year, because like, I could play it again. But Silent Hill, I do want to play it again. Just, it's going to take me a while to get around to it.
Yeah, Paper Mario and Thousand Year Door, very, very good, but yeah, it's definitely a longer game, and yeah, I've never played Time Splitters 2 before, so.
It's the GoldenEye team, so it's very, like, keep GoldenEye in the back of your mind, you're going to be like, oh, look at that, even the health bar.
Control-wise, too?
Yep.
It's a little bit improved, though, yeah.
Yeah, you have twin sticks, just don't play it on GameCube. You have to use that C stick, the nipple thing.
I mean, like, even that felt like a second analog stick in comparison to the nubs on the PSP.
Oh, sure. Yeah, true. Yeah, better than the C buttons on GoldenEye, too.
So, looks like Time Splitters.
How much is the Xbox copy, out of curiosity?
I believe it's 10. I could tell you in a second, though.
Yeah, that sounds
good. Hey, this is actually, I think it's a really short game, so we could record pretty quickly, I would imagine.
Let's see. Time Splitters 2.
$10.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Sweet. I should probably go ahead and order that before I forget. And, yeah. How long is it on how long to beat?
7.5 hours,
I thought.
Second.
It's about 9.5 hours.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
So yeah, no, that's definitely
For you, Dax, it's gonna be like 20. So
well, I mean, it could be 33 if
maybe,
I really want
maybe even the max there.
I'm excited to see how the comedy holds up and how much like, that wouldn't fly today.
Oh, it's supposed to be like
my OCD isn't as strong when there isn't achievements or trophies involved. So I give myself a little bit of a break. If I really like the game, I'll collect the additional stuff. But especially for a shooter, I think I'm good with the all styles. The 14.5 hours, that seems like a sweet spot.
Okay,
nice.
I've actually tried to play the first Time Splitters, but I didn't. I got distracted and didn't finish it. So I'm gonna play through 2 and then maybe go backwards.
The original, there's not much to the main game of the original.
No, not at all. Like, it just kind of like dumps even like the levels are like the
levels,
like,
yeah,
time, like around a certain time period, but you just kind of get dropped in. It's just like, okay, go shoot thing.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I'm glad I got. I'm getting a Xbox controller for the holidays, because I feel like I need to play this one multiplayer, because like this was, everybody would always talk about this game when talking about like must have multiplayer games for the PS2 and the GameCube.
Hmm. Now the next time all of us play or watch Shaun of the Dead, we're all gonna be like, hey, because his friend is playing Time Splitters in the room during the game. Time Splitters 2.
I would need
both times at the beginning of the film and the end of the film.
Yes, yeah, both the beginning and end. There's a like section where he's playing Resident Evil 2, the original, but for the most part, when he's gaming, he's playing Time Splitters 2.
Okie doke. We have context now. Hurrah!
Cool.
So yeah, that was VG Club for Kena: Bridge of Spirits. Thank you all so much for joining us. And yeah, hope whoever's listening to this has a wonderful day. Bye, folks.
Bye.
See ya.